Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, would you please stop staring at that glass of water? We need to record the podcast. Patrick? Patrick?
Sorry, Jim. I guess I was lost in thought.
What were you thinking about so deeply?
It was about water.
What about it?
It got no enemy.
Okay, it's day three of our visit with Tug Baker, and we're going to talk about his January deep dives into some legacy artists, I guess is maybe one way you'd call it, as opposed to new music. And it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us, I mentioned, is Tug Baker. I wanted to get that out of the way, because it's often then, if we don't say that right up top, then we forget later to introduce ourselves. So
yes.
Present. Band meeting. Okay, done. So, okay. Now, before we get into the artist today, first of all, I would recommend go back, you know, the last two episodes and listen to the other deep dives that Tug has done. You can even go back to previous years, because we've talked about the past years. Yeah.
Yep. Tug has been on our music podcast going all the way back to the old show even.
It's such an interesting exercise to really just focus on a particular artist, or in this case, he did three in January, and listen to their catalog like front to back, right?
Yep.
Now, before we get into all that, what are you guys drinking? I notice I'm watching you on the Zoom here, and I notice you guys are drinking something, and I still have coffee, but the day has turned for you. So what do you have?
I right now have a Charleston, South Carolina brewery, Edmunds Oast. And this is their cereal after dark. It's a stout with some lactose and coconut and stuff like that in it. And they're one of my favorite breweries down here. They're if you're ever in Charleston, you should definitely swing by.
Oh, that sounds great. A stout is a good choice for these dreary days of winter, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Good winter choice.
Yeah. That's what I've been drinking is stouts lately. Very good.
What's the name? What's the name of the brewery again, Tug?
Edmunds Oast.
OAST?
Yep. OAST.
Okay. Cool. Hmm. Very cool. Never heard of it. I have to check that out.
They have a great restaurant that it started as like a, you know, they just brewed out of the restaurant, and now they have two spots. They've got the restaurant and the tap room, and yeah, they make some great beer. They make a peanut butter and jelly beer that'll blow your mind.
Wow.
Only available there at the place. They won't, apparently there's something about it where it won't travel well, but yeah, it tastes like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Wow. Amazing.
But not for kids.
Not for kids.
Not for you.
Not for kids. That's
right. Nope. Anyway, yeah.
Not for the 5-year-old. Yeah. I've got the Bell's Two Hearted. I think it's one of America's great beers.
Classic.
And I'm so glad. You know, for a while, Tug, you couldn't get it in Virginia. There was a dispute about the distributorship. Yeah, and for about, what was it, Jim, over a year. A
couple of years, I think.
No Bell's products. If you wanted it, you had to go to D.C. To get it. There were a few places in D.C., but that's been solved now. The red tape has been cut through or mended or whatever, and suddenly it's back.
What we had to do in the interim was Patrick would drive a Trans Am, I would drive a big semi, and we'd load up the semi with the Bell's Two Hearted, and we'd
go to Michigan.
Outrun the
whole way.
Outrun the state troopers. Yeah, and then we'd drive it to Virginia. But we don't have to do that anymore.
No, luckily. Yeah, that was risky. Right. Sally Field was getting a little tired of us anyway, but yeah, the Bell's is a great, great classic American IPA, and also the Hop Slam, you know, this time of year around Christmas time is always good if you can get that.
I missed it this year, but a buddy of mine that I work with, I told him I missed it, and he put one on my desk, so I had it last week.
Sweet.
Okay, now, what artists are we discussing today, Tug?
So today is one that ever since I started, like, you know, putting out calls for people, you know, saying like, hey, who should I cover for this No New Music January, who's a classic artist that I should cover, I have consistently every year had people saying that I need to put in Fela Kuti, and I've avoided it because it's,
I can see why.
it's very daunting. Very daunting. Lots and lots of albums. And to be fair, like, you know, I knew a little bit. Like, I knew it was kind of an Afrobeat artist or whatever. But I saw like all those albums when I look at the list. And I go, that's too many. Now, what I didn't realize looking at those albums is like those albums are like two or three songs each. But then the catch is they are all 12 to 30 minute songs.
That's right. That's exactly right.
This has been a real journey, and it just turned out that this year, I kind of done Kathleen Hanna, I done Bill Withers, and I was looking at the next one, and I was entering just a really busy part of work, and I'm working from home, where I needed something that could just be like in the background. And I could focus, you know. I have a real hard time focusing when there's lyrics, like a lot of lyrics coming at me. And so usually my go-to for then is like, you know, metal, like just like, you know, yeah. Doom metal with Swedish, if you know, Japanese, like some other language I can't understand. But this year I was like, okay, hey, let me check out Fela Kuti. And so put this on, and you know, there is, you know, English, and there's but there's also, you know, pidgin language, like there's different things, but it really did. It's such a groove, man, and it is music that is all about a groove. And so I've listened to more album start to finish, like I don't know how many times over the last few weeks. Yeah. Even now that it's February, I'm still kind of working pretty hard on some stuff and just throwing this on to like get in a groove and really go for it. Admittedly, a lot of the recommendations that I've gotten, like, you know, listen, have come from my friends who work at the, you know, the local record shop, Papa Jazz Records, yep. Columbia, South Carolina, still best record store on the East Coast. Check them out. But it's come from them, and I realized as I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this is like, you know, when I'm in Papa Jazz and I'm flipping through records and there's just something with a nice groove on in the background, I'm just like, God, this is why I love coming here. That's what usually it is. If it's not, you know, Fela Kuti, it's some other, you know, like, you know, similar artist or somebody inspired by him, or one of the, right. you know, one of the offshoots of his groups. Cause it is, it's just, you can just sit there and get into a groove with it so easy. And that's what it's all about. Every song is, you know, a groove starts, like maybe guitar line, bass line, you know, something. Then, you know, add the second thing. Add a little key run. Mm-hmm. That starts going. Then the drums kick in. And Alan, remind me of, better.
Tony Allen.
Tony Allen, yep. The drummer. Yep. Holy, I mean.
Amazing.
One of the best drummers. That's probably one of my biggest takeaways from this. This is all great music, but, like, that guy is... like just shot to the top of my greatest drummers of all time list. Like so good at holding down. I mean, and holding it down for 20 minutes, you know, however long like it takes.
It's amazing. It is, and I think that's a great shout because it took a special kind of person to be able to do that in, you know, for that long. And apparently on stage, it was even longer. You know, sometimes it would go 30, 40 minutes with Fela Kuti directing the band and kind of orchestrating and him playing saxophone himself at times. And, you know, those horn blasts, I think you said it great. It just kind of layers, right? And it keeps your interest because stuff will pop in and pop out. And those blasts of horns that will come in on certain songs. I mean, think of a song like... I don't know, Water No Enemy or, you know, Zombie or any of those kind of, you know, classic tracks. I think it was Brian Eno who said that it reminded him of two semi 18-wheelers, you know, going at 100 miles an hour side by side down a highway and just blowing their horns at the same time. Like, that's the impact of like what Fela Kuti's music was when it was at full speed and it was like unstoppable. But yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much, did you do any reading about his political, like in some of the stuff he did?
I did a little reading, and I watched, I watched Finding Fela, the documentary it's kind of centered around the Broadway show a little bit, just because that was of the time where, but it really is like, and I don't know, you may have seen other documentaries about his life. But I thought it touched on, tons of stuff I didn't know about, like, you know, a thing of like looking at some of the problematic things about him, because there's a lot, there's a lot there. I feel like, I don't know if they were, I don't know. I'm not really going to pass judgment on somebody else, but like, I don't know if they were as hard on him as they could have been, but he was obviously a very complex and individual person. The whole living in this commune that, you know, initially seemed to be just like, you know, just providing jobs for people, like, you know, just like he had a bunch of money, so he had people on payroll to like do stuff around his commune, and then then it became like, well, I also married 27 women,
right? Exactly.
Like, oh, okay, like, yeah, all right. So, you know, that's the commune part of commune.
Exactly. And you're right, it is problematic, and you know, there was drug abuse that warped his mind, I think, at a certain, you know, began to at a certain point too. And but that pure period, he invented, like you said, I think there's a lot of current bands working today that wouldn't, you know, be anywhere near what they are if it wasn't for what he did and the way he put things together.
Now, Tori, I won't fool you. History said the inside is small. Now, Tori, I won't drag you. History said the inside is small. Ooh, 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 ooh. One bus, they come now. Republic. One man inside the bus. He start to yap.
Yeah.
He say, look those people.
Yeah.
Them be a yeah people.
Yeah.
Them be a mugo people.
Yeah.
One man can't stand.
Yeah.
Him say, them call them like that. Them be my people.
Yeah.
Before you know, commotion does start. Big trouble, big argument. Big fights, big everything. Commotion they go, commotion they come. Fight they start, fight they stop. Trouble they turn round and round. Before conductor convex, conductor convex now.
And listening to the records, and again, not really, you know, when you're just listening to them before you really like start reading, and you know, I knew that there were political undertones going on, but I also did not know exactly what they were. But like, you know, even on records like Open and Close, like, you know, which is kind of a live record, he's like, we're going to teach you now how to, you know, do this dance, and it's open and close, and it's just about, you know, just the way that he describes the like motions of the dance movement, it's just like, man, like, yeah, I want to be in that room, I want to be there and be like, all right, we're going to do this now, like, you know, we're going to do open and close. Like, he has a very charismatic way of leading, like, just commanding the room. Yeah. The videos and stuff that you see of him, if you look him up online, and one of my favorite things from the documentary was people in his band talking about how you're talking about how he was like kind of a hard band leader, like couldn't deal with, you know, some backup drummer, like that, you know, if he turned around and looked at you during a song, like, you knew, like, oh no, it's so bad.
Right, because you did something to stick out.
And they had some pictures of him where I was like, oh yeah, like, he's like the face, the like, yeah, the like, you know, I'm playing the song or whatever, the face just drops and he turns around and just absolute daggers flying at people.
I know. It's amazing. And one thing too that's complicated about his legacy is that he recorded for so many different places and like labels and all kinds of different things, and the rights to all these songs are owned, you know, by different companies and licensing. And it's, so the reissue process has been, you know, not comprehensive, I don't think, by any means. Just, you know, just like you were saying, the, like the LA sessions and some of that other stuff, it's hard to come by. And, I'm lucky to have a couple of records that I don't think are out anywhere else either. But, you know, that's kind of become the thing for people who are way more obsessed with Fela Kuti than I am, you know, is tracking down all those original 12 inches and all those things and kind of putting them together. And it doesn't come cheap, obviously.
I can't imagine it would. Yeah.
And I know. Yeah. What a quest. And just because he was putting them out all the time, I think, you know, as soon as he got enough money from one and by all accounts, they sold pretty well. Another one, you know, would be put out because he had all this stuff he would record. So, really amazing. And I think, Jim, you know, like Antibalas, which was your record of the year, you know, it's obviously a direct spiritual descendant of Fela. And so, man, again, my hat's off to you, Doug, for taking this one on. It's been a lifelong project for me. I've been like dipping my toe in for like 30 years now. So
on the newer music thing, like you were talking about Antibalas, like, who were the band for that Broadway show that came out. But so I've actually, you know, like there are bands in that like Antibalas and Budos band, like in that like African, you know, groove. Have you guys listened to Shabaka and the Ancestors?
Yes, as a matter of fact,
one of my favorites of me too. Of last year. Like, so good. I love that record.
Yep.
Like,
yep. When I would get burned out on rock music, this is what I would listen to, and it would kind of help me. Like, you know, I've listened to another, you know, 10 more emo albums today, or whatever it was, right. And I would always go to Fela like a well that would kind of replenish me. And
and that's part of my January deep dive that I've kind of in more recent years, you know, said is like when I ask for recommendations from people, I'll specifically say like, no white male rock bands need apply. Right. Like, you know, I've been listening to that all my life. You know, I love it. Like, you know, you guys know me, like Replacements, you know, I need a break from that. Like there's not anybody there that I haven't, you know, I don't think I'm going to learn anything new. But this, right, I'm learning so, like, you know, if I'm focusing on women or people of color, like, I'm guaranteed to learn something new. Like, and that's the whole point.
I think that's a good point. And this is one thing I want to suggest here is I've noticed, it seems to me like there's a heightened interest in the last few years in Afrobeat. And I think part of it is because we're no longer bound by the kind of categorization that used to happen. So even in like a cool record store, you still had like the world music section was like sort of set off, and it was probably in the back corner somewhere, right?
That's
it was
right.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
one little row.
Yeah. That's right. And so, you even then you sort of felt like that was, you know, for the most adventurous listeners, right?
Yeah.
Would maybe go, you know, do that. Right. But now it's like people are discovering like how great this music is. And it's like, it's unchained, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. Like we're because of like streaming and stuff like that. It's not even like dipping a toe in it anymore. It's like, you can just take a full on dive. Like you just did. Or if you just started to discover some bands, you know, maybe I was like, for me, like, I mean, I had the influence of Patrick, but also another route that I might take is like, okay, I got into like Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley. And because of that, I was into Daptone Records. And then that led me to Budos Band and Antibalas. And then because I listened to those, I start getting fed other Afrobeat stuff through my streaming service. I'm listening to that.
There
right.
And
so like it's now it's like this whole, I'm sort of taking a journey down like a river. Right. As opposed to having to like take a flight somewhere and land, you know what I'm saying?
So it's, no, like, it's a great point. It really is,
you know. So anyway, I feel like anyway, that's just my little aside, but I want to know, here's what I want to ask you, Tug, is having gone through this deep dive into Fela Kuti, like, and you mentioned it's sort of daunting, right? There's so much there.
So much.
If somebody, you know, doesn't have this amount of time or doesn't want to dive into it that deeply at this moment, where would you now suggest people start?
if you just want like a song, because again, it's like, you know, when I say like, you know, where do you start? Like you're going to commit over 10 minutes. Like if you want to listen to one song, it's going to be over 10 minutes. So you got to know that going in. I really do think Alu, John Junkie John, which is off of Aphrodisiac. Because it doesn't have it's one of the few songs of his, because I think about you guys and like, you know, having to drop in, music cues. And, you know, a lot of these songs start off, like I said, you know, just a few things. And he doesn't even sing until like maybe halfway through. Like, and he's already had a sax solo. He's already had, you know, all this stuff. That's one of the few songs in his whole catalog that's like, from the beginning, gives you the beat, gives you him singing, and drops you right in.
One, two, three, four.
So start with that one. If none of that interests you, then don't bother. But I guarantee you it
will.
Like,
call. Great call.
But yeah, having to wait and, you know, you play Go Slow or No Agreement or something like that, you're 9 minutes in before he even picks the microphone up. Which is great. And it's a very hard thing to explain to anyone who hasn't listened. Like, you know, so yeah, you just gotta, if you're going to say one track, like give that track a try. And if it's of no interest to you, then move on. That's fine. But I guarantee you'll be sold.
Love that. Love that.
All right. Okay. This has been great, huh?
Yeah. So good catching up, guys.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, last year, I think it was last year we did Joni Mitchell, and I went on a deep spiral into a couple of Joni Mitchell albums. So we'll see what I feel like I have a Bill Withers thing coming up.
The
Hissing of Summer Lawns, I think, was the one that really got me last
Summer
year
Lawns,
too.
That's so good. And I picked that one up last year, right when the kind of pandemic started, like the right before, so I was spinning that record a lot still, like you know, throughout the year, and when everything went kind of like mail order, you know, wasn't going in the record shop, like, you know, just be like, hey, like, you know, I went to that Joni Mitchell well a lot this year. I think I'm going to be, you know, anytime I see him post that they've got a new Bill Withers record, the Phalo Coochies are going to go before I get there. I'm guaranteed, but I'll try.
Yeah. Well, and you make a really good point, Tug. I mean, I think, you know, well, with his passing, you know, probably will exasperate the need for those, but keep your eyes peeled if you're flipping through the used R&B soul or just, you know, any record bin, because some of that Bill Withers stuff, a lot of it was on Columbia and it had big distribution. So there's copies out there, I'm sure, that you can come across.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. All right. Thanks very much, Tug.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Hang in there. We'll get through all this stuff together. And I know it's got to be particularly tough, you know, with the young child in the house. My kids are older. And so, you know, whatever, they're just cynical, you know, teenagers. Yeah. They can just deal with that stuff. But man, yeah. little kids want to be out and about. You know, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's yeah. Again, like I said, a little lucky that he's a bit of a homebody. So he's cool here, man. We're chilling. But yeah, he's we're getting through it. And hey, getting into music, getting into
He's got a good daddy. Yeah, he's got a good daddy for that kind of stuff. Yep. We're going to be talking to him in a couple of years.
That's right.
I hope so.
If it keeps going like this, yeah, amazing.
All right, thanks, Tug. And thanks, if anybody Tug. Would like to comment on Felicute, you can call and leave a message,
612-440-1984.
There you go. Or send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right, this has been great.
Yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't wait a whole year to talk to Tug again. We'll dial him up at some other point coming up soon here. Okay, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Tug Baker.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Talk to y'all later.
All right.
From Abeokuta City.
Translation to original English. She pulled it in, come on.
I'll be catching up on all the new like metal records that have been coming out past couple months. Already, the Tribulation record. You guys listen to Tribulation? You should get into Tribulation.